Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased to have a special guest today, Susan Bradford. Will we be taking a deep dive in certain aspects of corruption in American politics? The general topic, of course, comes as no surprise, but she has new information and a new book and a lot to talk about. Before we get there, however, I want to review a number of stories and developments, including an ABC poll shows that 55% of Americans do not support a Trump indictment. Do not support a Trump indictment. A new ABC poll shows that a majority of Americans are not supporting New York's indictment of former President Trump, and almost half believe it was politically motivated. The poll released Sunday found 55% of Americans are not backing the move. The first time in history a former U.S. president has been charged criminally. The results showed 32% opposed, 23% have not decided, 45% support the indictment, but it breaks along party lines. The poll reported 88% believe Trump should have been charged, while 62% say should not have been, and another 20% were not sure. A plurality, 47%, say the charges are politically motivated, echoing the sentiment from top GOP figures. An even larger majority, 79%, of Republicans hold that view, as does a plurality, 48%, of independents. 64%, as expected, of Democrats take the opposite view, though it's a far cry from overwhelming opposition. The poll was conducted after the indictment was announced with a random sample of 593 students and a margin of error of 4.4. President Trump is going to address the nation Tuesday night from Mar-a-Lago, just hours after the arraignment. A lot of us are rather concerned about what's going on here. Luring Trump into New York, he's going to be at a specific place at a specific time, and could be targeted. I am personally concerned about his safety. Former President Trump will hold a speech Tuesday night at his Mar-a-Lago residence. Trump advisor Jason Miller confirmed he'll deliver the speech at his Florida residence after he's arraigned by District Attorney Alvin Bragg following the grand jury indictment. Trump is going to be giving a speech Tuesday night at Mar-a-Lago at 8:15 p.m. Now, he's supposed to be arraigned at 2:15 p.m., so that would be 6 hours later. I think the entire world will be watching just how strong and how fervent he is, that we must continue to make America great again, because you can't have Trump policies without President Trump. He did not elaborate on the contents of the speech. Nobody wants to go see a tribute band when the Rolling Stones are still playing. They're here for President Trump, and the Republican Party is solidly behind him. Recent polls have shown he has a decisive lead over Joe Biden, and I would add an overwhelming lead over any alternative, such as Ron DeSantis, who, of course, is easily the strongest, but way behind. I mean, by some polls, 40 points or so. Bragg's office, of course, is investigating Trump regarding payments he made to adult performer star Stormy Daniels during the 2016 campaign, and whether he misclassified them as a business expense rather than campaign. The former president and his lawyer have criticized the case as politically motivated and an attempt to harm his 2024 chances. Of course. I've even seen a statement signed by Stormy Daniels saying they did not have a sexual relationship. I would find it rather odd, all things considered, since a porn star obviously is having sex with multiple partners and Trump is germophobic. I don't see this in Donald Trump. More importantly, it appears that it was Michael Cohen, his attorney, who paid off Stormy Daniels, and that Michael Cohen has complained that Donald Trump never reimbursed him for that. That means this is completely contrived. Trump never actually even made the payment. Cohen appears to have done without Trump's endorsement. Moreover, there's statute of limitations issues here. It's trying to convert a misdemeanor into a felony, a civil case into a criminal. This is really corrupt. Even the FCC, the Federal Campaign Commission has previously rejected these charges that Trump did not violate campaign finance laws. And it just shows you how shabby the Democrats have become. The indictment has yet to be unsealed by Bragg's office. Legal experts have said they'll unseal after he appears in court. A lawyer for the former president, Joe Tacopina, said he'll surrender on Tuesday, April 4th. Not clear if he'll make a statement then or how it'll be handled. Some have speculated the former president would have to have his mugshot taken. And of course, that's what this is all about. They want photographs, booking photographs of Trump, the front and side photos, of course, and him being fingerprinted as though he were a common criminal. What the Democrats don't seem to understand is this is greatly strengthening his popularity and support. It's just stunning how desperate the Democrats are to try to tarnish Trump, but all of their efforts have been unavailing. Go back to Russiagate, two impeachment attempts, the Mar-a-Lago raid, January 6th. They failed again and again and again, and support for this man has only grown stronger. Since it was reported Trump would be indicted, the former president has not kept a low profile amid his third presidential bid. While there's overwhelming evidence he won by a stunning margin in terms of his second in 2020, but it was massively stolen. A president who frequently criticizes Democrats, including Bragg and, of course, Biden, the fake Biden, has been using it as a campaign fundraising opportunity. He generated at least $4 million in the 24 hours after he was indicted. Trump has criticized the judge as another example, a part of a political witch hunt. And, you know, I'm all on Trump's side in this. The judge assigned to my witch hunt case, a case that has never been charged before, hates me. The judge, Juan Merchan, was handpicked by the Democrat district attorney, he alleged. They only brought this fake, corrupt, and disgraceful charge against me because I stand for the American people, and they know I cannot get a fair trial in New York. In other words, the jury's going to be biased against him. I've done a million arraignments. Topolino told ABC does not know what to expect during the Tuesday arraignment. I've done a million arraignments in that courthouse of celebrities and whatnot, but this is a whole different thing. We have Secret Service involved. They're closing a courthouse for the afternoon. I just don't know what to expect to see. He hopes Trump can get in and out of the courthouse as quickly as possible. That will be a typical arraignment. Stand before the judge, say not guilty, set schedule to file motion, discovery, and move forward and get out of there. Meanwhile, surprise, surprise, Biden renews a call for sweeping assault weapons ban. Biden said Tuesday he'd exhaust all avenues under executive authority to stop mass shootings. It is now up to Congress to act, to step in as he's gone to full extent he's capable of in the wake of the what we are told was an horrific mass shooting at the Nashville Elementary School, the Christian school, killing six lives, 3 9-year-olds and 3 60-year-olds. So you get the 3 3 equals 33. The address is 33. They're supposed to have had 33 teachers, 666. It's all really shameful. Biden termed the idea of owning a so-called assault weapon as crazy and bizarre. Well, there's some crazy and bizarre things in Washington, D.C., but owning an AR-15, for example, which doesn't even technically call an assault weapon, that's just biased use of language, because it's not fully automatic, is not among them. Speaking to reporters, Biden once again called for a reinstatement of a federal ban on assault weapons that he helped spearhead in 1994. That's when it was a real Joe Biden, not this mimic. I recently played, for example, a video of Biden from 2008. Very animated, very articulate, lots of hand gestures like me. He uses his gestures a lot when he talks, not this guy. The real Joe is very expressive, articulate, intelligent. This guy is like a walking cadaver. This ban targeted semi-automatic assault weapons and large capacity ammunition feeding devices. He's credited the action with lowering mass shooting. Well, it's not happening. In fact, taking guns away from the American people would have the opposite effect. GOA, Gun Owners of America, have tweeted, there's nothing funny about potential hate crimes against Christians or a teacher being disarmed by Joe Biden gun control. It's time to arm willing teachers and repeal the fake gun-free zone act, which create free fire zones. It was really bizarre. Asked to respond to GOP Senator Josh Hawley's claim he believes Christians were targeted in Monday's school shooting in Nashville, Biden tells reporters of White House, well, I probably don't then, before clarifying, no, I'm joking. I have no idea. Suggesting he has no idea that this was even a Christian school. I mean, he's a doofus, this guy just reading scripts. Critics argued that didn't reduce the crime rate, and then the support for it waned. In 2004, it was allowed to expire. Let me just say, I can't emphasize this enough. Americans use guns for defensive purposes millions of times every single year. Millions of times. Saving an estimated 200,000 lives. By virtue of Americans having guns, they typically don't have to actually fire the guns. Just show the perp they're armed and the perp skedaddle. Well, the estimate for the average gun deaths a year is around 70,000, over half of which are suicides. So you're talking about, suppose you said 30, 35,000. Well, 200,000 is many times, 600 times percent more than, 35,000. I mean, it's crazy. You'd have a tremendous surge in deaths from perps because, remember, the criminals aren't going to give up their guns. The suspect in this case, of course, identified as 28-year-old Audrey Elizabeth Hale, is alleged to have entered Nashville's Covenant School on Monday armed with three weapons. The biological female identified as transgender. Police searched her home, reported they recovered a manifesto. She had a former student at the school and several hand-drawn maps of her target. The school is a private Christian and part of the local Presbyterian church serving roughly 200 students through sixth grade. The quick click to Second Amendment issues after a tragedy is nothing new for Biden and his admin. The gust had not settled. Motives were unclear. McCall's claim to limit our rights under the Second Amendment. In the hours after the tragedy, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, who's there because she's black, female, and a lesbian, asked how many more children have to be murdered before Republicans in Congress will step up and act to pass the assault weapons ban. She can never answer any question about anything, however. She's a total airhead on a order of Kamala Harris. It's just outrageous that we have individuals in important positions who are utterly incompetent and are there with a preoccupation with the administration's LGBTQ plus agenda. A timely response came from Senator Tom Cotton, who tweeted, "It was in extremely poor taste to blame Republicans for a vicious assault by a transgender killer who targeted a Christian school," putting it mildly. Joy Reid, prominently featured on MSNBC, said those who oppose the left gender insanity, I mean, listen to this, "Democrats are doubling down on the woke gender insanity, left's woke gender insanity, in the wake of the tragic shooting in Nashville. More and more Republicans are finally starting to fight back." Joy Reid said three words about Americans who oppose the left gender insanity that'll have you seen red. Monday, and again, as we're told, a transgender murdered three administrators and 3 9-year-olds at the Christian school. Many believe it was no coincidence. It occurred the day transgender activists promoted as a day of vengeance. Actually, the day of vengeance, I think, is supposed to be Saturday, the 1st of April. As usual, the media jumped at the opportunity to turn it into an attack on Republicans. Wednesday, Joy Reid launched into a rant about how conservatives are waging a nationwide crusade against transgender people. "There's a lot we don't know about Monday's deadly and horrific shooting at a Nashville Christian school, but after the police said the suspect was transgender, one thing is clear. Tennessee's already under siege. Transgender community is terrified." One advocate told NBC, "We are already fearing for our lives." Reid said Republicans are fighting to stop the left from performing sex change operation, giving puberty blockers and hormone treatments to young children are dangerous and evil. The right-wing moral panic over transgender living their lives or seeking medical care simply existing obviously predates the Nashville massacre. But some on the right are linking their raging nationwide crusade against transgender people in ways that are just dangerous and evil. She claimed that transgender are 2.5 times more likely to be victims of violence and complained about how we are now seeing a moral panic over trans shifted to this Nashville massacre. It's a shining example of how biased the media is toward the left in their favor. Here you have a transgender murdering 6 people, or so we told, and Joy Reid is still finding a way to attack the right. Tucker set the record straight with truth about the transgender movement, which is that they are targeting and attacking Christians with violence. "The trans movement is targeting Christians, including with violence," Tucker said. "Most Christian leaders don't want to admit it," he continued, before adding, admitting might force him to take deeply unfashionable positions. Here's a tweet from Marjorie Taylor Greene. Yesterday, my official Twitter account was temporarily suspended for warning about Antifa's Trans Day of Vengeance in front of the Supreme Court. This planned event had been whitewashed by global brands on the left. Meanwhile, there's no acknowledgement of the innocent. Meanwhile, let me say, this whole Nashville shooting was totally phony, totally fake, one of the most amateurish false flags or stage events I have or anyone else has ever seen. The public, those who are paying attention, were all over this like piranha on a fish. Here's one of the key findings you can find on my Twitter account at Jim Fetzer. Wow, our trans Nashville shooter changed his her sneakers during his her assault on the Christian school. How dumb are we supposed to be? Bad to see many are pointing out absurdities of these stage events, which the Dems use to promote their agenda. So he came in wearing these Pumas, black and white, and when he was found dead, wearing Vans, which were very colorful with a totally different stripe. I mean, listen, these are completely different sneakers. Well, guess what? I happen to know a chiropractor, and he took a good look at what's going on here. And the question he raises, what is the sex of this shooter? Do we have a girl playing a boy? That's what we've been told. Or a boy playing a girl? Listen to this. Anonymous, you can find it on my blog. I've just published it at jameshfetzer.org. I am a doctor of chiropractic. I would like to share my observation about the Nashville shooter, but anonymously. We are told she was Audrey Hale, age 28. She was in transition to becoming male. But how far along was she? We're told she lived with her parents and that they forbade her from dressing as or presenting as a male in their home. So within the confines of the home, she was still Audrey and presenting as female. But think about the practicality of it. It means she had to leave home as Audrey and go somewhere to change her clothes and her look. And then before going home, she had to change back to being Audrey. Was she doing that? Seems like an awful lot of trouble. Let's look at the images. Here's one where she looks very feminine and attractive. Very much so. Here's another, dressed in male clothes, otherwise no clear signs of masculinity. Shirt is too loose fitting to ascertain her figure. It's been reported she was on testosterone, but can we be sure testosterone is a prescription drug? So what doctor prescribed it? I'd have to see her medical records before I could accept that. Here's another photo, presumably taken at the same time, and you'll find the photos, of course, on my blog and in the video version of the show today on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Notice she had a rather long neck. Observe the distance between her chin and the knit of the tie, compared with photographs of men or others with normal necks. Here we see the long neck again on the right, but what about on the left? This is nothing long about that neck. And what about the lips? Look how prominent the lower lip is on the left, which we don't see on the right. Jim had been pouting on the left, but even so, I don't know how that alone could account for it. Some people have a lot of disparity in the size of their lips, and it looks like the upper lip was tampered with on the right. It looks like someone took a Sharpie to it, and it does not have an anatomical contour. It's too straight. So there's some monkey business going on there. Now let's look at the very masculine shooter. These are now photographs from inside this building, which was empty, by the way. You don't see any students, teachers, custodian, secretary, nobody anywhere. We certainly don't see a long neck on the right. The bulky shoulders and thick arms scream male. I would even use the word burly to describe the person on the right. Short and burly. Audrey certainly wasn't burly, but was she short? We can't judge her height without knowing his. This is comparison with someone, but I just noticed something. They messed with her upper lip there as well. It's darker, and there's a weird patch out of place. It looks drawn. Now let's return to the shooter. More images. How old is that person? He obviously appears to be a male, but how old does he look? He looks like a teenager. He looks like a boy, not a man. He does not look like a fully mature adult. That is a young face, an immature face. In youth, the face is rounder because the sin scales are plump with water and because there's an abundant subdermal fat. As we get older, the skin cells dry out, and we lose that subdermal fat, and thus we acquire the angularity of an adult face. I'd say that's the face of a teenager. But if I'm wrong, how wrong can I be? Maybe the person is 20, 21, 22. That's pushing it. But to take it as 28 is out of the question. We have the footage of Audrey breaking into the school since she just arrived there. Nobody was hiding yet, right? Doesn't it seem odd that no one was around, that we never see anyone except her? If you've been to school, you know that people are coming and going all the time on a school day. We see her aiming and being prepared to shoot several times. But we don't know what triggered it. Did she hear something? Did she see something? Or was that just state action? I will point out her handling of the assault rifle and her movements in general seem very male. Men and women move around differently. Men are more lumbering in their movement. They transfer their weight more coarsely. You might say they're King Kong-ish compared to women. They hold more tension in their muscles and react faster and more bluntly. They oscillate more around their center of gravity, whereas women are more graceful. Everything about the movement of the school shooter looked male to me. The tauntness, the wide stance, the intensity, the grip all look very, very male to me, biologically male. Keep in mind, I don't have an agenda. I'm just looking at this honestly and objectively based on my experience as a doctor, and based on that, I cannot believe that these two are the same person. So I think I figured it out. And here we have photos of the other with a short neck, being the same person, and he is a boy. Round face, pug nose, short neck is the same kid. I'd call it a boy's expression, too. In other words, we're dealing here with two different people. Girls, even at a young age, tend to be more camera savvy. They're quick to pose nicely for the camera. They want to look good in photos. It was certainly true of Audrey. And on the right, he's nowhere near 28. It's a wonder if he's even 18. If you told me he was 16, I wouldn't question it. Aubrey Hale was a different person in the opposite gender. They had a conflated teenage boy with a 28-year-old woman, and that's why they needed the transgender story.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Just a few more words about Nashville before I bring Susan into the show. This was probably the sloppiest, most rushed, most inadequately done false flag. I mean, it takes you, it's worse by far than Sandy Hook. I mean, it's much, much worse. And most people still think Sandy Hook was real, even though we have two of the participants. We have Emily Parker, who is a little girl who was supposed to be dead, coming out. We have Vicky Soto, who is supposed to be dead, coming out. Vicky Soto even did a reprise of Uvalde, for which she was paid $210,000. I've been in indirect contact with them for over a year now, and I want you to understand, they're calling out what's going on in Nashville and saying some of the crisis actors down there were actually trained in Connecticut and observing that they've jacked up the ante because Eric Holder is running these through FEMA. Now they're getting paid $310. I mean, she got $210 at Uvalde. Eric Holder went down to Newtown and gave the town $140 million to do Sandy Hook. You got to understand, they're just using taxpayer money to scam the American people again and again and again. And this one in Nashville is just god-awful. Driving into the parking lot's empty. That's not consistent with it being a school day. Shooting the doors coming into the building. setting off a burglar alarm. That's not consistent. Why would the door even be locked if it were a school day? But the point is, you set off the alarm, people should be running everywhere. There's no one to be seen. The building is completely empty. And then, as I've observed, wearing one type of sneaker coming in and wearing a different type of sneaker when taken out, that means it was filmed on different days. Listen, don't let yourself be played. Don't be an idiot. Take a look at the evidence. I've got it all over the place on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. 3 or 4 articles about it. Multiple videos on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. 3 or 4 videos about it. On my Twitter account at Jim Fetzer, 3 or 4 tweets about it, and more and more and more. You need to understand what's going on here. This is insulting beyond belief. The Democrats have nothing real to offer the American people, so they fabricate these events. And then you have these cretinous morons, these brainless cadavers like Joe Biden, mouthing words they don't even understand. I mean, this guy's got a handler. He's got a giant screen. You understand, when he does these things in the Oval Office, it's not in the Oval Office, in the executive building, where they create a fake Oval Office with a giant teleprompter so the guy can read the words. And the audience is there. The reporters all know, but they're not reporting because they're, in essence, in on it with a fake news media. Thank God Trump has called it out as much as he has. But you've got to understand what's going on here. This is totally complete bullshit. Now, there are very different types of deception taking place, and I'm very pleased to say my special featured guest today is an expert on many of them. Susan Bradford, please tell us about your latest exercises in corruption, deception, deceit, meaning looking at American politics as it occurs today. Your thoughts. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jim. Just to add on with what you were saying, I also noticed that there was no security guard either at the school. And today, you know, today's day and age, there's always a security guard which would prevent, you know, the shooter from coming in. But in any event, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit about Trump. I know that you're a diehard Trump supporter. I respect that. However, I think with the Stormy Daniels case, with many of these federal prosecutions, we have to look at, okay, they're moving our attention to Stormy Daniels. What are they moving it away from? And a lot of these fake scandals began with the Lewinsky scandal, where the public was overwhelmed with salacious details about President Clinton's affair with an intern in the White House. But that was intended to take the onus off of, or the pressure off of Bill Clinton over pending charges of treason with regards to communist China. So they redirected the public's attention onto that and away from the more serious charges. I think this might be going on here. Now, I don't have a lot of sympathy for Trump. I was a great Trump supporter from the very beginning. But the fact of the matter is that, as I wrote in my latest book, Jack Abramoff, Rothschild Zionist, Jack Abramoff, who was one of the most prolific, one of the most influential Republican lobbyists during the second Bush administration, he was prosecuted by a very partisan Department of Justice, and the fact of the matter is that he was left holding the bag for alleged crimes that were committed by Rothschild and Trump-affiliated casino interests. In fact, Jack Abramoff acquired access into those lucrative casino markets by way of Florida, the Seminole Tribe of Florida, through Trump. So he ended up taking the fall for other people, and he later emerged to lobby the Trump administration once he had rehabilitated himself. And I had also looked into a number of other federal prosecutions during the Bush administration. For example, the prosecution against Richard Hatch, the Survivor reality TV series, the prosecution of Senator Ted Stevens, and there are a number of others, the prosecution of the Enron executives. And in each of these cases, you've got the federal government trying to scapegoat one party while diverting attention and even deflecting attention away from crimes that were being committed elsewhere. And consistently, those crimes or those the misconduct.
No, that's great, Susan, and I have no problem with your having a different point of view on Trump. I mean, this is the most controversial political figure in American history. And, you know, so, I mean, I welcome that. And one of the reasons I do the show is to promote alternative points of view so we can discuss and debate and get to the heart of the matter. As Sir Karl Popper emphasized, rational debate is our most important tool in discovering the truth. So I have no problem. And I know you've done vast research on Abramoff and other of these corrupt characters who are making a difference to what happens, you know, in American politics. So I welcome everything you're presenting. Please do continue.
Okay, thank you.
You know, I'm fairly taken aback by that because it seemed to me the whole Russian thing was just made up by Hillary. I mean, John Podesta basically admitted it much that it was made up to just excuse her loss. I did a lot of research on 2016. It was rigged for Hillary. There was pollsters given phony polls. They had fudge data. They had all set for Hillary to win. She would have won had it not been the case that there was a rural vote, which they weren't able to contain. I mean, I've talked with experts in voter theft, and they say you steal election, you go where the votes are in the cities. So they had the cities rigged for Hillary, but it was a rural uprising. You know, that is where the Democrats have now expanded their voter theft operation to make sure that no Republican can ever win again if we don't get rid of the Dominion voting machines and the drop boxes and the Eric, you know, to pad the voter rolls with people who are dead, moved, and whatnot, because they use those bad to send out addresses, you know, that look like they're legit. When they come back, then they're processed the way the Democrats want. They're filed the votes, you know, as though they were legit. I mean, it's just disgusting, Susan. So you're suggesting that we're actually Democrats, even in Obama admin, who did not want Hillary to win. I'm just... That just blows me away. I mean, please just reiterate the basic storyline there, because this is very intriguing.
Well, there's definitely a kind of rivalry between Hillary Clinton and the Republicans, you know, for government contracts and other matters. But the Rothschilds have, since I think it's 2012, been involved.
Stand by, hold that thought. We'll be right back after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either," available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for one second that the is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Susan, I think you were going to recap the reason why the elites or Obama actually didn't want Hillary to win in 2020, in 2016, because that really baffles me. Please, please, please do elaborate.
Okay, I mean, there's no question that the elites wanted Hillary to win, but I think at stake was the Rothschild control of the money supply and the assets. I'll do a little kind of a bit of a backstory here. The Cold War ended, you know, among other reasons, due to the fact that massive fraud in the Rothschild banking structure had been exposed, and the Rothschilds were behind the communist revolution. Like Wall Street has bankrolled all communist revolutions, including, you know, the communist revolution in Russia. So once that fraud was exposed, Russia was like a free for all. They had to withdraw their power, withdraw their their influence or presence within Russia. And so then it became a free for all where everybody was out for themselves. The Russians, our Russian oligarchs, grabbed the assets for themselves. And then Putin grabbed the wealth from the oligarchs, and then Rothschild controlled it from behind Putin. So this was a way for Rothschild to try to get back control of his money. And if you recall, in the mid-1990s, This was at the time that that the GATT was getting underway, the World Trade Organization was coming into being, and the elites were moving ahead with free trade agreements like NAFTA. Around this time, according to Catherine Austin Fitz, tens of trillions of dollars went missing that could be unaccounted for, and she believes that that money is held in the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland, which is the central bank that controls the central bank, which is controlled by Rothschild. So you have this effort to control the money. It's my belief that that this is what was going on in the 2016 election. And you can kind of get a sense of this because in 2020, at the December of 2016, the Global Magnitsky Act came into effect. So this was, something that they were trying to get around. That they knew that Rothschild was under assault from many different directions. And then you have to look at the fact that that if the contest wasn't really between left and right, the agenda continues regardless of who's in power. Just to give you a sense of this, Eric Schmidt, who was the former CEO of Google, he advised Obama on how to exploit data to win the election, to maximize his progress in the election. Eric Schmidt, in turn, has been a leader of the technocracy in this whole global New World Order agenda. He was an advisor, a technological advisor to Hillary Clinton. And then once Trump became president, he then advised Jared Kushner on the track and trace technology that they were putting in through, they were trying to coordinate with the vaccines. And then you add to that one of the campaigns upon which who was behind the campaign to legalize pot, it was called Curaleaf. And the biggest stakeholder in Curaleaf is none other than Russian Roman Abramowitz, a Russian oligarch. If you look at the legislation that they were working on, it was to help pot work as a way for them to launder money. So it would be a way that would not be, they wanted to make sure that money derived from marijuana sales could then be passed through banks. This was a banking. They are trying to control the banks. At the same time, Abramoff was working on acquiring a Bitcoin. Now, this was the only Bitcoin in the nation at the time that had the Know Your Customer rules. These are Know Your Customer rules that came into effect after 9/11. For the government to manage money laundering. Now, you've got the Rothschilds who are working, Rockefellers and the Rothschilds who are working with Abramoff. They're partnered with Abramoff on this Bitcoin, trying to control the money laundering rules. They were working with him on selling pot, which was a means for them to both launder money, move money around, and also a way for them to weaken America by, there have been many reports on, not only is pot damaging to the mind, but a lot of fentanyl has been laced, intermixed with pot, which has killed, many, many Americans. So Abramoff was, he got into trouble in part because he tried to muscle the founder of the Bitcoin, Marcus Andrade, out of his company to steal it on behalf of the Trump administration, where Jared Kushner and Steve Mnuchin were working with Peter Thiel, the founder of Palantir, among other technocrats, to launch the digital currency. So they were coming in, actually laying the foundation for the central bank digital currency that they had hoped would become like a global denomination. And if you read the reports from Miami and other places, of course, Miami, Ivanka Trump, Kushner have millions of dollars worth of real estate. The investors in Miami were talking about becoming the newly minted ruling class by buying into Bitcoin and then allowing these kind of fake assets to increase exponentially in value And then once it reaches like a pinnacle of value, a substantial value, they would then be able to buy up all the real estate. So there you have this agenda coming to the fore, World Economic Forum. You know, we will own everything, you'll own nothing, and you can rent from us. You know, so I think Bitcoin was part of that agenda. And if you follow what Abramoff did, he was doing it with, you've got this agenda that they're trying to move money around. Another factor, which I found kind of interesting, is that during the Trump administration, you've got a lot of curious characters like Rudy Giuliani, he was an advisor to Trump. On the one hand, he was making the rounds throughout Europe promoting strikes against Iran. On the other hand, he was working with the Turkish government to avoid or to help the government circumvent sanctions and penalties for laundering money through Iran. And so you've got a lot of a lot of problems with money laundering. And it's my contention that the Rothschilds are trying to kind of get control of the money while they still can, and before the entire game is up for them.
Yes, yes. Before the game is up for them. Do you think Ukraine is a heavy, heavy blow to the Rothschilds and the Great Reset and the WEF? Because Jacob Rothschild had declared Vladimir Putin to be an enemy of the New World Order, and that the New World Order cannot proceed without Ukraine. And it appears to me Russia is decisively defeating Ukraine in spite of NATO and the U.S. best efforts. In fact, Russians recently took out a deep underground bunker with this Dagger missile that killed, 20 or 30 NATO U.S. officers who were actually running the war. My interpretation, Susan, is that this is a serious blow to the New World Order, maybe decisive, and I'm interested in your agreement or not, your thoughts about it.
I mean, that's a very good interpretation, and I think mine would be a little different. I believe that, I think history bears out, that the Rothschilds have generally financed both sides of the war, so that they're behind Putin, and they're also behind our government. And so I think that they are creating some type of theater. I know that they are using the theater of war within Ukraine to test new military technologies, like for Palantir, for example, through companies like FTX. Allegedly, they have laundered billions of dollars, while Americans are suffering. Our taxpayer money is going into Ukraine. FTX was tied in, like they were investing in groups like the MIT Media Lab, which was also receiving money from Jeffrey Epstein. This was a group that was founded by the brother of Negroponte, the director of national intelligence, works for Rothschild. And according to the editor of the Japan Times, this media lab was tied into an international child sex trafficking ring. So again, you got more Rothschild money on every single side of this. So I think that, we are at a time in history when Americans are suffering terribly, where our country is going into debt, our banks are becoming insolvent, and we don't have any national real interest in the Ukraine as far as I can see, and yet we're pouring billions of dollars into the Ukraine. And I've read reports that the Ukraine is considered to be the second Jerusalem, like maybe, Israel has some kind of vested interest in kind of taking control of that land and maybe building it up for, the new Zionist country. So I think there could be a lot more going on there than meets the eye.
Very interesting. Do tell us more.
Where would you like the discussion to go? So within this, Bitcoin space, I guess you have Abramoff was working with Kushner and trying to steal the Bitcoin. One of the accusations against him by Marcus Andrade was that he wanted to force Andrade to sell the Bitcoin business for $100 million and then give him meaning Abramoff, $40 million The $40 million would have paid off the restitution that he owed the federal government from, you know, his earlier days as a lobbyist. So Abramoff was working with the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers in acquiring that Bitcoin. At the same time, Jacob Rothschild, and I think the company is called Aspen Digital. This was a cryptocurrency exchange that was to be an exchange for all the global currencies and exchanges, including FTX, was developing some kind of gold-backed alternative. So I kind of think that there was this kind of Rothschild agenda behind Bitcoin. So on the one hand, you have, like patriots and alternative media have been encouraged to invest in Bitcoin and these alternative coins, but we're really being kind of shepherded into like a new Rothschild system. So I think, you know, there are some efforts here to kind of devastate the United States financially. And then Rothschild is trying to kind of position himself to, take over the global economy.
It does look, you know, in the U.S. that the bank collapses, and I mean, not just Silicon Valley and Signature, but others are really intended to create a domino effect, to create larger banks buying up the smaller in the first place, but eventually just have a single central United States bank and everything digital so they can control our entire lives by being able to cut us off when we're doing anything with our money. It's our money, but they're going to control it. So it becomes their money that they, as it were, are leasing out to us as long as we conform to their expectations. Susan, this is horrific, because once we go to digital money, I mean, we are slaves. I mean, I don't think there's any way around it. And this would be, I think, utterly consistent with Rothschild aspirations to dominate the world, the United States being the hardest case because of our guns, our independence, our history of, you know, making our own decision for ourselves, actually being a free democratic people, which they obviously abhor. I mean, it's outrageous. Does this all fit your scheme of things?
I think it does. And you're absolutely correct, because the social credit score, you know, which was in China, the Chinese social credit score was devised by Eric Schmidt. Okay, and the banks are now harvesting information from your social media accounts. That's part of your Know Your Customer rules. And then the banks are effectively creating a social credit score for the American citizens. And, of course, if this agenda goes through, we will, in fact, be slaves unless we reject it. I found it kind of interesting during the Trump administration. You know, we were under the impression that Trump had, you know, he nationalized the Fed, kind of stripping it of its power. But another thing that they did by subsuming the Fed into like the Department of Treasury, they essentially allowed the Fed to be politicized. And that way they would ensure that whoever was in power, whoever controlled the Department of Treasury, could then engage in an unlimited printing of money on behalf of those political interests. And we've seen that going to Ukraine. We also saw that with the big bailout of the banks, the Silicon Valley Bank, where a significant number of those investors were, you know, the communist Chinese and also Israeli companies. But you're absolutely right that, you know, this is a part of their agenda. They want to, you know, build their smart cities, and then build, you know, they want us all plugged into an electronic currency, and then they can determine, you know, how we spend our money, whether or not we can engage in commerce and how much. And if they go full steam ahead with their green agenda, they can make sure that every ounce of energy is regulated and possibly taxed. Tesla, I believe, is rolling out a new system where they want to have everybody under a subscription for your radio service, your heat service. They can just regulate every aspect of your engagement in society and then tax that or restrict it. So it becomes like a very oppressive control system that they're building around us, you know, with this, you know, AI and track and trace and central banking.
So how is this going to play out, Susan? I mean, we seem to me to be in dire straits. Is there any way out? Is there any recourse? Have we got any options? What are your thoughts?
That's a good question. Well, the reason I wrote my book is that I have found that there are really a handful of people who are behind this agenda. The vast majority of the world does not support it. I would like to have the public grow in awareness of the truth of what's behind it, who's behind it, because that in turn will empower them to resist the agenda. And also, what they're trying to do is based upon layer of fraud. So they cannot legitimately do what they're trying to do. They can only do it if we allow them. So it is my hope that with the fraud that I have uncovered and documented in my latest book, that hopefully proper reformers and attorneys, even attorney generals and local sheriffs and others who have the wherewithal to investigate and prosecute this can do so. Because once they begin to prosecute the foundational fraud, it will then follow into all the other directions, and I think their house will come down. So that was one of my hopes in writing this book.
Well, my concerns in relation to that suggestion is that the legal system and the judiciary have been corrupted and weaponized. I mean, I'm living through this myself with regard to, I publish a book, bringing together the 13 experts, and we demonstrate that Sandy Hook was a FEMA drill. We even have the FEMA manual. And I get sued, and the judge basically preempts all my evidence. I mean, I got a 440-page book, including the manual for the FEMA, and the judge says it's irrelevant whether Sandy Hook happened to the authenticity of a death certificate purportedly for someone who died in Sandy Hook. I mean, Susan, this is just a logical absurdity. If nobody died in Sandy Hook, then no death certificate for anyone from Sandy Hook is going to be authentic. But I was just railroaded. I mean, it was just astounding to me. And I went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, which declined to hear my case on the ground that Wisconsin allows a judge to make up the facts in a case of a summary judgment, which is just violative of the most basic principles. But it's got, which I believe is one of the reasons I was sued here in Wisconsin, is they have this peculiar summary judgment procedure where if a judge thinks a position is unreasonable, then you can just set it aside as though it doesn't exist. A friend of mine who was actually in the courtroom for part of my hearing said he recalled the judge actually said people did die at Sandy Hook during the oral hearing. But I mean, how's he entitled to make up those facts? In Wisconsin, basically, they're allowed to do it, which means you're getting a non-jury trial because it's only at trials that the facts are made up. But in this case, it's just a judge. I mean, it's just shocking. So I don't know where we go. I mean, look at this case. We talk about Trump being railroaded in New York. Now, okay, maybe you have a different take on Trump than I. But I would be surprised if we have a different opinion about whether or not this is a complete phony case here. This is a complete phony case in New York. And it just illustrates, I think, that we cannot have any faith in our judicial system anymore. We're targeting no longer under the rule of law. We're just abusing the legal system to target our political opponents. We are a third world banana republic. I mean, it's a fact today. The United States has lost its status. We are so diminished in the eyes of the world, Susan. It's breathtaking. And now we have with BRICS and OPEC, and you got Saudi now dropping the dollar, basically, and joining BRICS. I mean, the effects are going to be catastrophic for the United States. I mean, I want everyone to understand, we're not just legally a third world banana republic. We are going to be economically a third world country, and it's going to happen faster than you can say Jack Robinson. I mean, telling you, it's going to happen very fast. Between inflation and all the other economic catastrophes, but the loss of the dollar as a world reserve currency for oil, we're in a catastrophic fix as I see it, Susan. Your thoughts?
I totally agree with you. And the country is collapsing as we speak. I mean, we are well on our way to becoming a third world country. And you're right that the judicial system is gone now because it's being weaponized against people. Like on behalf of special interests, they can eliminate rivals. They can anybody who is inconvenient to their agenda, they can then railroad it, you know, as happened to you. And what Bill Browder was saying, and what I've uncovered too, working on the Abramoff investigation, is that there are actual teams of attorneys that work with each other for decades, and they manage all sides of prosecutions, they manage the courts, and so you've got a system where people our government is being blackmailed, they're being bribed, they're being offered incredible incentives. You now have billionaire oligarchs with unlimited pots of money, able to just dispense money to those who go along with them. So I think that you've got a system where everybody is out for themselves, but at the same time, you have this Magnitsky Act, and it's become global, and it has teeth. And this is being used to really seize the assets of those who are engaging in human rights violations. And there's nobody who's more, who has engaged them more than the Rothschilds and their allies, and egregious. It's home, genocide, poisons, you name it. And so I think that we need to kind of use the tools that are available to get some type of relief. I think they can be stopped. And there are political cases like yours where the judge is probably compromised, and the prosecutor is compromised. But at the same time, if we can begin to kind of investigate the root of how this all started, and this weaponization of the judiciary really started at the end of the Clinton administration when they brought us into communist China, and when the Rothschilds were trying to get control, they're losing control of the New World Order. They're trying to figure out how to keep it. This is when we really lost our judiciary. So we need to I would like to see, if there are any, honest, I think there are some, any honest investigators or prosecutors or even sheriffs which owe their allegiance to the people to begin to investigate this, or even have the information brought to light, so that a large number of people can be aware of it, and then with the public pressure, we can then kind of force some type of integrity, force some type of accounting. And once we have that accounting, the agenda will necessarily stop, because there are only a few people who are behind it, and if we don't, the outcome is going to be exactly as you said. We're going to become a third world country, we will have lost our republic, and it's going to be really downhill from here. It's going to be devastating for the country.
We're going to open the lines after this final break, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Any questions you have for Susan or me about any of the above, all the subjects we've been talking about, which are rather broad in scope, be right back. Take your call.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Hey, this is the Raw Deal. And everybody, you know, I know Jim had an audio problem there in the first hour. He will have the full audio on his BitChute channel and his other channels. So just be aware of that. Kind of waiting for Jim to come on back. Hopefully he didn't mute. Are you there, Jim? Hello. Hell, is anybody else there? There's Jim. Hey, Jim, we're back. I don't hear your audio. Jim? Mute myself then.
I want to give him a minute.
Hello?
Yeah.
There you are, Jim.
I'm back. Yeah. By the way, one of the caller not here on the to me directly was saying that there were two shooters. You know, they got two different sneakers, I think two different days, but they're suggesting there were just two different actors. They happen to be dressed differently, but that's so stupid, so bad. I lost audio for a few minutes in the first hour. Well, what can I say? Brian's here. Anyone else? Mitchell?
But you should have it. Hey, Jim. Jim, this is Mitch. You should have it on your Zoom recording.
Right.
So nobody missed really anything. They can always get
good,
it.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Was Brian here? Want to say a few words?
Well, I wanted to point something out because, you know me, I know all this occult stuff. You know, like I told you, the reason Rabbi Shabbat and Zivi came June 6th of 1666 because of all the sixes, and he was the Antichrist. The reason you're seeing so much 3-3, you know, three adults, three children, the address is 33, is that Christ died when he was 33 years old. So they're like, it's the Antichrist at work showing we own you. So that's why you're seeing so much of that. And I don't know if people are aware of that.
I thought it had to do with 33 degree masonry.
That's the same thing. Okay, the 33 degree Freemasonry is based on the fact that Christ died when he was 33.
So what is your take on all the shooting, Brian? You're not taken in by it, are you?
Oh, God, no. Jim, no.
Embarrassing? Isn't it embarrassing how bad this was? You know, I've even speculated that they brought the Trump indictment as a distraction, that they were hesitating doing it. But when Nashville fell apart so miserably, they had to do something that was going to distract the public, and that's what they could do, so they did it.
They're falling apart. You know, as I mentioned many times, the central sun of the galaxy lined back up with us December 21st to 2012. And we've been flooded with divine energy from the central sun of the galaxy, and it ends in 2025 in August. And it's making them crazy, okay? And they're going to collapse. And you can just see it. I mean, just look at how goofy and crazy everything is getting. They can't take the light, and the light is here, and it's destroying them. And I don't worry about any of it, because you're going to see it just keep getting crazier and crazier until people say, we've had enough, and they won't be able to control it. They're on their way out, and then we enter the age of Aquarius. That's what we're stepping into. And then in 26,000 years from now, the central sun comes back around, and then we'll be flooded with light again. You know, we were without light.
Brian, yeah. you're telling me you buy into all of that?
Oh, God, yes. Jim, if you the meditation stuff I do, you can find it on the internet. They talk about all that stuff, okay? They talk about it. It's there. If you start looking on the internet, it's there. Absolutely, it's here.
Count, because...
Huh?
Count me just a tad bit skeptical.
Well, you can research it. You will find the information, okay? It's there. The light is here right now.
Mitchell spends a lot of time on Revolutionary. You got his own show. I want Mitchell to tell me, is your sense people are seeing through this Nashville thing that it's just tattered and torn, that it was just the original amateur hour? Mitchell, I think this is just shocking that they did it so poorly.
I don't know, Jim.
You're not getting callers who are talking about Nashville and all that? You think people buying into it? Is anyone buying into this being a transsexual who killed Christian kids when the school is empty, the parking lot's empty, they're wearing two different kinds of sneakers. It's actually a teenage boy who's carrying the weapon. I don't know, man. How gullible are we? Have we reached this point of stupidity that we'll believe anything?
We got Joe Biden for president. What do you want, Joe? What do you want?
By theft.
I mean, what do you want? Where do you want to go with that? Okay. Yeah.
I'm lost. Where did I want to go with that?
Well, look at Ukraine. Look at our government. Look at the Restrict Act. Okay.
Yeah, tell me about the Restrict Act.
Well, it's basically they want to enshrine the right of the U.S. intelligence services to have the sole legitimate right to have control over all of social media, to brainwash them as they choose. They cannot have Chinese competition You know, it's like the Moonies being mad at the Catholics, you know. You can't have competing brainwashing memes in social media. Can that just doesn't work.
Can I comment on the Restrict Act?
Sure, go ahead. And then we'll bring in Paul, who's standing by. Go ahead.
Johnny.
One of the sites that will get you in trouble on the Restrict Act is TikTok. And it's a $250,000 fine and 25 years in prison for getting on TikTok. That's what's in the Restrict Act.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is the one that's going to make it illegal to have encrypted correspondence on your computer, right? What are they called? VPIs or VIPs, whatever? Paul's
well,
no doubt.
VPNs, virtual private
VPNs,
network.
Yeah, VPNs. Paul's no doubt well, all over this. Come on in, Paul. Join the water's fine.
Thank you. I would suggest that it's not how they screwed it up or how sloppy they are, but they don't care and they mock us. That's part of this. You see it all the time in many other things as well. It's a form of mockery, and I really don't think that they give a damn. And why should they? Because so many people are stupid. Are they not, Jim? I mean, are we not in many ways a nation of morons?
We've had this.
May I comment?
They had this GOB, National Geographic, at a geographical contest, you know, like a spelling bee, but about geography. And they've dropped it after some 29 years. Why? Because Asian kids were outperforming white kids. But actually, they felt it was in the name of equity they drop it. We get a report from Northwestern that IQs are dropping in the U.S., but they're saying maybe it's not a bad thing. So, you know, we're getting dumber and dumber. It's just insulting what's going on here. We got a Johnny Seals. Johnny, go ahead, join us. Give us your thoughts, Johnny.
Yes, I think you guys were spot on. It's ironic how I just want to back you up and reaffirm you. You said, are there people out there really that stupid? And I just wanted to answer that question. A lot of them believe that this fat guy in a red costume is going to come down their chimney and give them presents. I mean, so yeah, that
no,
is true. And as far as you know, the God
people.
Thing
Go
goes,
ahead.
It is real. Go see what happened to the comedian who said, I just got vaccinated and been boosted. I must be Jesus's favorite and God will not be mocked. And what happened to her? Boom, dropped and fainted right there on the spot after she mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. So great show. I'm glad to hear all you guys talking and being right on point. And hey, we're going to come after these people. I just want you to know I conquered the federal tax reserve with the revocation of election. And I just got commissioned to go after the personal property taxes to prove that they have no right. And we never agreed to let them take control of our property. When we die, that belongs to us. And I am a sovereign because I'm an American national, not a U.S. citizen. And I am going after them. You guys have a good day.
Thank you. Excellent.
Paul, you want to add further thoughts?
Yeah, excellent. No, I mean, this is the thing that's been frustrating for years, is that there is a nonviolent way out of this if people were intelligent and had courage, but we know that people are stupid and they're gutless. And that's why they get power over us. I mean, the people lined up to get their shots, Jim, they were happy to wear their masks. You have people out here still wearing masks. Because they believe, and when they were overwhelmingly wearing masks, I don't know how many of them believed, but they all complied. That's why I have contempt for so many people. Sorry. And the fact of the matter is this will continue. These people really are powerless, but we give them power by our cooperation. And of course, what all these white nationalists and alternative sites refer to as the Zog bots. That's the cops. Okay, mindless soldiers and cops they call Zog bots. And, you know, and there's not enough of them to contain us when we make our minds up we're going to be free. And it would start, in my opinion, with one of the things Johnny mentioned about taxes, right? You can be free of taxes. All you have to do is have a little courage. I've been free of federal income tax for over 35 years. It's nothing to it.
Is that on the basis that it's a tax on federal income rather than a bona fide tax on all your income, and that when you send in, you're voluntarily sending the government money, you're not legally obligated, that sort of thing, Paul?
Right. It's all based upon a presumption, a rebuttable presumption. That's most of the law is a fraud, and they will assume jurisdiction if you don't challenge it on almost everything. And of course, they will accept your money if you claim you have income. If you go and look up in the IRS code, I've been trying to get people to look at the definitions in the code for 30-something years. Most people are lazy. They don't want to know anything. Look at the definition of income. Look at the definition of state. Look at the definition of U.S. Look at the definition of U.S. citizen. Look at the definition of trade or profession in the IRS code. You'll be shocked how it's just right there in your face. They don't care. They will accept your tax return, and they will let you use their tax table so you to calculate your tax. You will self-assess. That's all it is it's voluntary compliance and self-assessment. Most people don't have the courage to claim exempt on their W-4 that I've done over and over and over again. I just claim exempt, and they don't withhold federal tax. It's simple.
You mean, where do you make the claim, Paul? Where does the claim appear?
Well, when you fill out the withholding slip for when you're working for somebody, now they put it on the back. You know, that's they're trying to get tricky, right? They put it on the back of the form, but it used to be right there on the front of the form where most people claim like 1, 2, or 10 exemptions or whatever. You just actually write in the word exempt, which you're allowed to do by law. And there you go.
Let me bring Susan in on any of this. Susan, your thoughts about any of what you've been hearing here for the last few minutes?
Thank you. I am familiar with what husband said about the taxation issue. And I think you can actually challenge that. Federal income, my understanding is that refers to if you live within the jurisdiction of Washington, D.C., and you are an employee of the federal government, if that doesn't apply
That's
to
right.
you, potentially the federal income tax doesn't apply to you either. With the shooter incident, given that they're kind of moving 5G and they have these vaccines going around, do you think that they really need to take our guns at this point? It seems like they have so many different ways of just dehumanizing, demoralizing, and weakening the people. Do you believe that they are trying to do a gun grab, or are they just trying to create more chaos?
Oh, yeah, they're trying to take the guns, but it's like Trump. You know, every time they go after Trump, his popularity surges. I mean, I got reports right here. We're on the air that he's getting more and more support. And when they try to take our guns, more and more Americans go out and buy more guns and ammo. So, you know, it's not working. They're not going to get the guns. It's stupid. And they lie. You know, just egregiously to make it look as though fewer guns mean fewer deaths when it's the opposite. The more guns, Switzerland, everyone's required to have a gun. They have no crime. You know, I mean, all the homes have to have weapons and they have virtually no crime.
May I answer that, please?
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Okay, so all that is irrelevant. I agree with all the stuff. The information you're talking about is accurate, but it's irrelevant. And here's the reason why. As you know, they're not going to, quote, go after the guns. That's just a figment in the imagination they're planting for us to distract us. They're going after us with the synthetic biology and all the toxins in the chemtrails and the food. You've heard of these quantum dust, quantum dots, self-replicating nano. It's not just in the vaccines. It's been in the spray for a very long time. There's no doubt about this. It's documented. So they are continuing their attack upon us toxicologically and biologically, and that's where they're going to do the damage. The gun thing is just it's a red herring. We don't need to worry about it. We just need to use them. We just need to use them.
The gun thing is another distraction, in other words.
Correct. And again, you need to catch up. If you haven't kept up with Sophia's work and others' work on this synthetic biology and what they're doing, it's just beyond frightening. And it's a no doubter. It's just like these people that look under the microscope to what's the contents in the vaccines. Well, guess what? They're finding those things in the unvaccinated. Okay, so how are they getting there?
It's really frightening. If you look into the ingredients of some food, that you'll see like lab-made electrodes and different things that they're putting in yogurts and other meats. I know they're putting some type of synthetic material within those as well. So I think we have to be very careful and to try to be as natural as possible to avoid the chemical compromise.
Right, and they are finding what they're calling, they're tried using different names, but I think Sophia uses the correct term, cross-domain organisms, new organisms that haven't been seen before. Because, you know, the various domains of life with archaea and so forth, so they're actually coming up, they're making new sorts of life, and they've done something that mimics a red blood cell. They've made an organism that is nothing like anybody has ever seen before. It's a form of synthetic biology, and it's a mimic to the human red blood cell. And Clifford Carnicom has found it in his work.
I do think the Supreme Court made a calamitous wrong decision about allowing the patenting of new genetic combinations. They should never have done that, because now you have people going out, you know, patent new species and all this stuff. It should have been in the same categories, laws of nature. A real huge mistake, in my opinion. Susan, any thoughts?
I know that the synthetic biology has been around since the 1970s, and possibly as early as World War II, when the Nazis were experimenting with it. So I think it's finally getting ready to kind of apply the technology that they have and bring it out of the darkness and to now apply it to on a broader scope. But I have seen reports of this like synthetic biology, and I've been able to create synthetic DNA. They've at least been able to do this as early as the 1970s.
Hey, is Brian still here? Brian, if you want to add a few more thoughts of your own, you're welcome. I guess not. Mitchell, is there anything you'd like to contribute, my friend?
Whatever we do, Jim, we have to get past the psychological operations that have been put into our brains, you know, over the number of years. You know, this national Stanford Milgram prison project that we've been sheep dipped into is severely damaging the cognizance of every human being.
By the way, Mitch, I think there's very good evidence that Miles Mathis presented that Milgram experiment was also a fraud or a hoax. I mean, that not that it didn't take place, but that the people were actors and they were in on it. So that's interesting as well.
We're talking about where they increase the pain, right? They could subject an individual to a greater degree of pain when they were in the guard position over the prisoners, and they did it with glee, or so it would appear. You're suggesting that may not have been authentic?
Well, it would have been authentic if I was in there, because I would have all I can start with.
Yeah.
But, I hope Brian is right about the whole, you know, Aquarius age and the light. I mean, I think that there's something to the sort of things he talks about. I don't claim knowledge or wisdom, and perhaps he's seen things. There's many other people around that believe that these sorts of things, other worlds, or what they call the quantum field, are all very real, and I'd like to think so. I'm not so optimistic, though, Jim.
What's a blend between astrology and theology, it seems to me, what Brian is proposing here. I mean, you know, these are pretty widespread popular beliefs. Alas, that does not mean they are true.
Yeah, they have a long-standing historical tradition among cultures, though, that this physical world that we're in now is not all there is, so... We shall see, but they are doing bad things in this physical world, no doubt about it, and they're taking advantage of the brainwashing system they have in place. And listen, you know, I don't know how many people you meet. I don't meet as many as I used to, but the the dumbness of the American public cannot be underestimated. And I can confirm this from my own experience.
The gullibility of the American public. Yeah, it's astronomical. It's astronomical. Susan, we're coming to the conclusion of our conversation. Would you like to add a few thoughts here at the end?
Thank you. I think what your other guests have said is right on the mark, that we need to kind of look through the distractions to the truth, keep our feet grounded, do our homework. And there are tools available to us, like the Magnitsky Act and others, that we can use to kind of challenge the fraud that is upon us, check these corrupt interests, and we can begin the process of taking back our government. I'm not trying to plug myself or anything, but if I do have a number of books on the deep state.
Yes, please tell us about them, where they can be obtained.
Okay, they can be obtained on www.susanbradford.org, and I do lay out in over a series of books how we've lost our country, and who did it, how they did it, why they did it, and to what ends. And I'm hoping that through that knowledge, you know, we can become empowered to take our country back. I think it can. I'm actually very, very optimistic. I think it can be done. And go ahead.
What a couple of your titles.
I think the most important, I mean, the one on Abramoff, I think is very important, which is Jack Abramoff, Rothschild Zionist. But beyond that, Royal Blood Lies, which reveals how Jesus Christ established God's government on earth, and how the Vatican and the Rothschilds usurped that through a series of wars, revolutions, and so on. And then Tartar Treachery reveals how the traces the origins of the New World Order to China, and reveals a long-standing collusion between the Rothschilds, Vatican, and communist Chinese emperors to rule the world with the black nobility. And then also one of my other books is The Shadow Dragon, which reveals how our political classes have sold us out to communist China. It shows exactly how they did it, the organizations they used, and so forth. So I think those are some important books if our readers are interested in learning more about how we got to where we are.
Well, I appreciate your being here, Susan. SusanBradford.org. I appreciate the calls, too, from Brian, Paul, Johnny, Mitchell's comments as well. And if you want more about Nashville, go to my blog at JamesHFetzer.org or check out my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, or go to Twitter at Jim Fetzer, because I'm putting it up everywhere I can. People need to understand they're being played, and don't fall for it. Thanks for being here. We'll be back on Wednesday. See you then.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...